Is it possible that humans' use of language and other symbolic representation is our greatest genius and our fatal flaw? Well, I think we can ask, is prairie dogs' use of symbolic language, of language and symbolic representation, their greatest genius and their fatal flaw? Is alder trees' use of language and symbolic representation their greatest genius and their biggest flaw? Because plants have symbolic representation. They communicate through a language. Stefano Mancuso has so far been able to make a dictionary of at least, I believe, 1,500 different words or phrases that plants use to communicate with each other. And these words or phrases are chemical. They are not, they don't go through, they're not sound waves. Instead, they are little packets of chemicals that they send out that say, help, I'm being attacked by aphids, or help, there's a caterpillar chewing on my leaf, or there's a caterpillar chewing on my leaf. You might change the texture of your leaf so that the caterpillar doesn't chew on you. And that is symbolic representation. Bears have language. I see bears all the time, and I hear the mother bears give different, they communicate with their children. They tell their children to run up a tree. They tell their children it's okay to come out of the tree. They tell the child, come here now. Bears will get angry at each other, and they moan when they're angry. And so I don't think, first off, that symbolic representation and language, I think it is completely false to suggest that those are only human. And even if, even among humans, that it has been suggested by some that language leads inevitably to hierarchy and civilization. But that's self-evidently not true, because there are human cultures who have used language who have been egalitarian. I mean, it's just, this is, this, you would think that if you're going to propose an idea that when there are a myriad of counterexamples to this idea, that it might make you chuck your idea. I mean, if my idea is that when I hold something up and I drop it, gravity makes it fly up into the air, you would think that if I drop a few things and they land, that I would go, gosh, maybe that thesis is not right. Now, it's true. I mean, there are those who also say that language is inherently alienating. And they say this primarily because the language is not the thing itself. And that is true, that the language is not the thing itself, but that I'm not expecting for the word sex to be sex. It's not alienating to know that there is a word to describe, to categorize that general bunch of activities. And, you know, when I, in my 20s, I spent some time trying to figure out, I understood that the words are not the things themselves. And I was trying to figure out what's the relationship between language and lived experience. And I was having, spent years trying to figure this out, just sort of ruminating on it. And finally, one day, it became pretty clear to me, at least part of it came pretty clear to me, because I was driving on the interstate and I pulled to an off-ramp and was going down the off-ramp, and there's a stop sign at the end. And suddenly it became clear to me that expecting the words to be the things themselves is like expecting a stop sign to stop your car. That instead the stop sign suggests to you what you should do. And that's the function of words themselves, is to, and that's the function of stories, is to help us understand. And this can be true on the most basic level. I mean, look, here's a cat. And you could say, well, she does not equal the Platonic ideal of cat because all cats are different. And the word cat does not let us know this particular cat. And that's very true. But that doesn't alter the fact that this is a completely different, you get a different image. If this were only audio, you would be getting a different image than if I said, I'm sitting here with a python on my lap. And so the word cat actually does mean this category cat. And it doesn't matter that it doesn't describe this cat perfectly, because that's not the point. I can say, because the word is not supposed to be the thing. It's supposed to help point us to the thing. So I can say my mother, and she is not the Platonic ideal of mother. She is not some essence of mother. But if I say I'm going over to my mother's house, that gives you a different picture that is more accurate than if I said to you, I am going to the Superdome to watch a football game when I'm actually going to see my mother. We know that those are different, even though I've never been to the Superdome. I have only abstract representations of it in my head. And I hate to even be, I mean, it sounds like I'm being really pedantic, but the problem is that there are entire social movements these days that are based on destroying the meanings of all words. And these pretty much control academia at this point. And it's completely nuts. And, okay, part of the problem, and we're all aware of the whole map territory question, and we are aware that the map is not the territory. And unfortunately, people have gotten very, very confused about this, and they have gotten so, and combine postmodernism, which is the belief that what humans create and what in our discourse is important, but physical reality is all phantoms. And not only have people, see, this is a concern with words, is that it is possible if your culture is insane to get lost in them. And it's possible if your culture is insane to believe that the words are more important than the reality. And that is the germ of the problem with our confusion about language, is that we are living in an age where if somebody says something is sustainable, then, well, golly gee, windmills, industrial windmills must be sustainable because they say they are. And, or they say that dams are carbon neutral. And that's all an accounting trick, because they actually release tremendous amounts of methane, as well as destroying rivers. And yet, because they're called green, we can just say it often enough. It's the big lie theory. If you just say it often enough, people start to believe it. And it's become so crazy that you can have a man with a beard saying, I am a woman, and all of the press, you can have a male rape a woman, and then the press reports this, because the man identifies as a woman, the press reports this as a woman who raped a woman. And we can all take this seriously. And so, yes, but the problem is, don't blame words for that. The problem isn't with words. The problem is with a culture that doesn't value reality, a culture that has from the beginning valued its map over the territory. We're talking about a culture that doesn't value physical reality at all. 25 years ago, I interviewed Charlene Spretnak, and she gave me the best response possible to postmodernism, which is that postmodernism is, we all just live by these different stories. The stories are what's important, and reality isn't what's important. And you see this to promote all sorts of horrors. You see this to promote, for example, pedophilia, where there are a lot of philosophers, Allen Ginsberg is one of them, a lot of queer theorists who will argue that it is not the pedophilia that harms children. What harms children is our stories we tell about the pedophilia. That Allen Ginsberg has this tremendous line about how children, prepubescent children, he says, would get used to our hairy bodies and get used to our lovemaking, his word, in a couple, 3 days, if only the adults would stop making all these hysterical noises about it. That's what he says. And so there are people who are actually proposing that it is the language around pedophilia. Michel Foucault is arguing this. But it is the language around pedophilia that harms and not the pedophilia itself. We get the same thing happens with environmentalism, that there are those, once again, who argue that sustainability, that biomass is sustainable when what they're doing is cutting down forests and burning them. And this is somehow carbon neutral. It's all extraordinary how lost we've gotten. But that's not the problem of words. Don't blame words for that. Unless, here's the one thing, is that I love John Livingston. I love his work. And one of the things that when I first read it, I disagreed with for a long time, and I don't know that I disagree anymore. He says that part of our problem as humans is that we substituted ideology for instinct. And that's problematical. Okay, an ideology are the stories we tell. That's how we pass on ideology. So if I tell the story that the tree does not communicate and is just wood waiting for me to cut it down, that is how we propagate our ideology. If I tell the story that this tree is an intelligent being with a life as valuable to it as mine is to me, that is propagating a different ideology. And I disagreed with John Livingston for a long time, because there have been and are many indigenous cultures who have stories and who have lived sustainably. The Talawan, whose land I lived here at least 12,500 years. And they did so with stories, with songs, they would teach each other how to live in this place and how to love this place. And so I disagreed with what he said because of that. But the reason I've come around to kind of agree with him is because the dominant culture has because I don't think ideology is then reliable. And the reason I say that is because it is possible to create a very destructive ideology. And so where I've come to agree with him is that having language, which I think, once again, prairie dogs have language, cows have dialects, chickens have dialects, everybody is communicating. So I don't think that language is the problem, but somehow I am not going to say that prairie dogs don't have ideologies. I'm not willing to say that anybody doesn't have ideologies. But what I'm trying to get at is that it is that clearly humans have created some entirely toxic ideologies. And clearly these toxic ideologies have caused them or have led them, facilitated them to conquer other peoples and to destroy and to conquer the earth. And so I don't think that if I were going to suggest what our fatal flaw is on an ideological level, well, our fatal flaw is, and the fatal problem this culture is having is conquest and is the patriarchal violation imperative. But if I were to suggest what a problem with language is, I would say it's our capacity to rationalize almost anything. And our capacity to make ourselves extremely stupid through ideology and to make ourselves reliant on ideology instead of thinking. And this, I want to say again, this is not the fault of ideology. This is the fault of this ideology.